Thanks so much, Mike. I really appreciate that meaningful reflection that carried us through all the weeks and themes of Advent, all the way here to our Christmas Eve together. That was really wonderful. I think a word that we have probably all gotten a little sick and tired of this year is unprecedented. We all did have experiences that were unfamiliar and that we never could have predicted beforehand. But there is something a little bit tedious and eventually even redundant about calling things unprecedented over and over again. We all probably have ways that we are wishing to get back to the most precedented of times again. And by the way, it's not lost on me that this is not an unprecedented expression or thought that I'm offering to you. I know that lots of people have been saying this type of thing. But then, so how does it feel for us to come together tonight and share in our annual ritual of celebrating a truly unprecedented event? God coming into the world, taking on human flesh. Jesus born as Emmanuel, God with us. After experiencing a year of being flooded over and over again with unprecedented times, does it make you think about what it must have been like to be around Jesus' arrival on earth? Does it make us connect with that a little bit differently? Maybe we relate to some things that we couldn't have before. Or maybe we will reflect on certain things about what it's like to feel things unprecedentedly. Is there anyone here who has something that maybe you've realized as you're thinking about things that have been different this year? That the arrival of Jesus and the reminder of that this year has struck you a little bit different? It's okay if not. I understand I'm putting you on the spot. People can type in anything that they're thinking about on our Facebook feed as well if you'd like. One thing that I've been reflecting on a lot is the almost unbelievable sentiment from what Mike read in John 1 tonight. That somehow this unprecedented nature of Jesus' arrival was still lost on many, many people. Could it really be that something so earth-shattering could have been missed or misunderstood? We celebrate all of these dramatic parts of the story that we heard earlier tonight. The angelic announcements, the miracles, the foreign dignitaries coming. And yet, those words of John hang out over our understanding of how this story came about. The world did not recognize him. His own did not receive him. We know that soon after his birth, King Herod would feel threatened because of the announcement of the Magi and would try to kill Jesus. And so Jesus and his family fled to Egypt and stayed there for a number of years before eventually returning back to Palestine and Israel. But apparently then he was able to live a number of years with a fairly inconspicuous childhood and adolescence and even early adulthood. He had, in fact, to announce, to most people's surprise, that he was going to have a public ministry at all. And then, when he started, he wasn't widely or universally welcomed or celebrated. But instead, he was followed with confusion, with controversy, with resistance, with persecution even. All of this mixed with the thankfulness and acclaim that we see from some people. And we have to remember that the Gospels even record that during most of Jesus' ministry, he spent a lot of time correcting and bringing along even his closest disciples, because he had to explain to them that his ministry was going to be different than what their expectations of what a Messiah would be. So I have to admit, as I celebrate the good news of Jesus' arrival, and I've been meditating about the experiences of darkness that I've been having, that I know all of you have been having in a very difficult and challenging year. We want light to break into that, and yet, it's hard then to not feel stuck in questions of why. How? Why and how could it be that people would not be able to recognize salvation coming within their midst? Especially when we consider ourselves God's own. So I've been thinking about this the last few weeks, especially as I felt led to explore these ideas with you. I found something in the historical context around Jesus' birth that I think might be able to give us some insight to understand how is it that things could be missed even when they are unprecedented? And how can we make sure to recognize and receive Jesus in our lives instead of missing something? It's not going to be one of our traditional Bible passages, but this is a writing from around the same time that those were written, and it'll have a lot of familiar themes and language and images, so let's see what you think. The most divine one, we should consider equal to the beginning of all things. For when everything was falling into disorder and trending towards dissolution, he restored it once more and gave the whole world a new aura. This man, the common good fortune of all, the beginning of life and vitality. All the cities unanimously adapt the birthday of the Divine One as the new beginning of the year. Whereas the providence which has regulated our whole existence has brought our life to the climax of perfection in giving to us the great King of Kings, who being sent to us and our descendants as Savior has put an end to war and has set all things in order. And having become God manifest, he has fulfilled all the hopes of earlier times. The birthday of the God on earth has been for the whole world the beginning of the good news, the gospel concerning him. Does anyone have an idea of where that writing may have come from? It was found carved into the wall of the government building in what's now Turkey, but was then part of the Roman Empire. It was dated 6, the equivalent of, for us, 6 BC. This is before Christ. See, this passage was in fact written about Gaius Octavius Augustus Caesar. And that was the way that culture had come to try to lift him up and glorify him as the one who was conquering all of the world and putting other peoples that were not Roman under the thumb of the Roman Empire. That was the language that they used to say this is the difference that he has made in our lives. I don't know for sure how you feel about seeing some of those similarities. When we hear this, though, maybe we can begin to understand, since it wasn't written about Jesus, why it might be possible that recognizing and receiving Jesus as Savior could get all muddied up for some people. See, not only are there painful and difficult things that happen in our lives, not only darknesses like what we have been experiencing this year, where it can be hard to see the light, and that's happened all through human history. People back at the time that Jesus was born had their own darknesses as well. But even more than that, there are all sorts of people and powers out there who want to make everything go their way, who want to claim the Savior label, and want to tell us that everything has been solved, even when God is still moving, and even when what they are doing is going against God's values. Now, to me, this really hits home. We have this whole season that we've been celebrating that helps us remember and recognize and receive God in our lives anew every year. And yet we know that there are those things that we're experiencing right now that are struggles, that are darkness, that we want the light to break into. We want God's love and life to break into. We want to see transformation and change come. But sometimes that darkness can make it feel like, God, when are you showing up? What does it actually look like when you will change these things that have been so hard for us this year? Not only that, we know that there are still people out there all the time who are ready to try to be a savior like Augustus was. They're ready to claim that God is on their side no matter what it is that they're doing. And so it's okay for us to admit, we as God's people want to continue to seek out what Jesus is doing in the world to bring salvation, to bring that light into our own lives and the lives around us. But it's not always easy. So what are some things that God shows us in the Christmas story that help us know that we are, in fact, following after that light, that we are claiming allegiance to the Savior of the world and not just the Savior who gets rid of all of their enemies? It may be just a tiny spark in the darkness at first, but God will bring us out of that confusion and struggle that we face. One of the things that we see is God shows up to the Magi. These are people who were not from Jesus' own country or Jesus' own ethnic group. They didn't have the hundreds of years of scriptures talking about the hope that God would bring into Israel's darkest hour. They were looking and trying to understand meaning from the stars, which is not a normal part of definitely our religious practice today, nor was it back then. It would have made a lot more sense, I think, for us to say, if we're looking where God is to bring salvation in a time like the darkness of Jesus, that God would have tried to show up maybe with King Herod. I know he gets a really bad name, but at the time he had helped refresh and rebuild the temple some. He had worked out negotiations with the Roman occupation, and so they were maybe not quite as hard on Israel as they could have been. And he was the first person who was helping rule Israel at the time who had any Jewish background at all. It was a small amount for him and his family line, but it was something. You'd think maybe there's enough there that God could come in and use that, and that's a really important person who's already the king, already has power, already has position, already has all sorts of things going for him. God will show up there with that type of ruler. But God went to the Magi. People who were outsiders, people who were going to come at understanding what God was doing, not only for Israel, but for the whole world, from a little bit different perspective. And they came with more humility and willingness to put themselves before this king rather than see themselves in competition with that king, as Herod proved to. So that is where God goes and what God expects. To go to those types of people who have that type of position and power, that they're willing to look at things from a different angle, that they're willing to put themselves to the side when they see someone else to serve. The shepherds were the ones who were announced to by the angels. Same thing, is this where we would have expected God to go? As it turns out, shepherds were pretty poorly thought of at the time in Jesus' culture. They're considered dirty and backwards. You're probably a shepherd because you weren't good enough to have any other education, certainly not any religious education. So it was kind of best that you were out in the hills all the time and not around people as much. Even shepherds' testimony was not accepted on its face in court. They needed other corroboration. So they weren't the best witnesses for something if you're going to try to make sure to spread the word with a lot of validity and backup. You would have thought, hey, God, maybe you want to announce the thing to the teachers of the law, to some prominent merchants in Bethlehem, to other town leaders. Make sure that the word gets out. Make sure people are excited. Make sure everyone knows that this is important. Maybe that would even protect Jesus against the threats from Herod. Yet, where God went was for the people who everyone else discounted. The people who would have felt that darkness maybe even more acutely than others because they didn't have the support and affirmation anywhere except from God. That's where God goes. And lastly, of course, would we have expected God to show up in a manger with dirt and manure and hay and animals? It's probably true that Jesus and his family had to go into a stable, not just because it was crowded in Bethlehem. Remember, Joseph was of the house and line of David. It's a pretty prominent family in Bethlehem. Everyone was supposed to go with their family. They probably should have and could have been able to stay with someone in their family. A lot of biblical scholars think the reason why there wasn't room for them is because there was still suspicion around Mary's pregnancy. And Joseph was sticking by her, and so bringing shame to his family, potentially. And so they got cast out to the side. And yet, where does God go? God goes exactly there. To the people that were forgotten, to the people that might have been disrespected, to the people that were lowly and poor, not to a palace, not to something prominent, to the place that you would seem most unlikely and unworthy otherwise. In the passage that Mike read, it says that when we do actually recognize and receive Jesus, we'll become God's children with him, and not of human decision or will. This means that God is expecting that when we become part of God's family, it will involve a break from what tends to happen in society and culture. Our belonging with God doesn't come from the expected sources of power and worth that men have and that men have established. It's going to be something inherently different, just like God goes to all these unexpected places in the story. And so we will find the light of salvation, even in the thickest darkness, when we follow our Father, when we follow the one who's been made our brother, Jesus, to the places that they go. And anyone or anything that claims to speak for Jesus or to be our Savior, but that isn't calling us to places like we see God going in this story, they're just muddying the water. We need to be going to the unexpected, undesirable, forgotten places. We need to be going to the poor, disrespected, powerless by most measurement places. We need to be going to the surprising, expand our perspective places. And that's where we will see God's light, just like it happened 2,020 years ago. Anyone or anything that is happy to treat other people and us as anything less than the children of God that John's scripture names us, or anyone that tells us that achieving salvation means that we have the right or duty to treat certain people differently than the worthy siblings that they are because of God's love, that is also hindering our access and experience of the light and salvation. And unfortunately, this year we know there are no shortage of places and people that need the light. Sometimes that light is going to feel very small against the things that we're facing. But the light does shine in the darkness, and the darkness does not understand it, nor can it overcome it. And I expect that what this will mean for any of us listening, whether here or on Facebook, is going to be a little bit different depending on where we are and who we're in connection with. There's a great, varied, wide need for the light. And so I expect that we each may have slightly different places that we will be able to connect with God and follow God into where God is bringing the light. For some, this may be finding ways to support people who are especially vulnerable with physical health right now. For others, it may be finding ways to support those who have been impacted with isolation and are having trouble with emotional or mental health this year. For others, it will be finding ways to protect and uphold those who are facing economic or housing challenges because of the fallout of everything that we're facing. And still for others, it will be standing with people who are continuing to experience social injustice in our society. Any of these folks may be as close as our dearest loved ones who will see just looking across even our own house or our own table. Or it could be neighbors around us that we don't yet know well, but we know that God loves dearly. So please, in this season, at the very least, do ask God to shine that light of salvation and hope into you for what you are experiencing. And to shine that light so that you know where you can share that salvation and transformation that God has begun as a spark within you. Let's find ways to support each other in not getting knocked off those paths that the light is illuminating or being distracted by those pretending saviors. But instead, we will always go where God goes, where God started going on Christmas Eve.